How many of you know that there are certain scriptures in the Bible that are scary? All right? Like the ones that tell you, you know, if you don't forgive people, then the forgiveness that's been issued to you will be taken back. So that makes us realize how important it is for us to forgive, right? Right. How about this one? But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. How are we all doing with that? If by your words you'll be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned, are you going to stand on the side of justification or stand on the side of condemnation? And I guess I don't say that to you to be at all condemning, or to try to bring some kind of conviction into your life. But while we were worshiping, I think there was one point, it may have been in a song, it may have been Pastor Josh that said it, but Psalm 150 came out, and the Lord started laying on my heart how important it is that we pay attention to that, okay? It says this, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp, or the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. See, it's only right that the drums are loud, right, Gary? All right. And then it says right here in verse 6, let everything, say everything, everything, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I began to think about that, about how, you know, how we always say that on Sunday, we're just getting you ready for your Monday through Saturday, all right? The time of that we spend in worship is only kind of almost a training time for you during the week, so that you know to worship during the week. Because I want you to know this morning that there's something in corporate worship that you can't get in worship alone, but there is something in worship alone that you can't get in the corporate setting either. So there's something about praise and worship, and the way that we praise and worship is with our tongues, right? With our mouths. Or many other ways, of course, you know, with all the instruments and things like that. And I guess I just got thinking about the fact, does every word that come out of my mouth, does every word that I speak praise the Lord? And you're going to say, ah, you can't do that. What about when you work? But it can. Have you ever come to the place where you realize that maybe your conversation isn't real? Wouldn't be a real blessing for the Lord. And the things that you are saying are probably things that you shouldn't be saying. What do you do at that point? What do you really do? You say, oh God, I'm sorry, right? Okay, but what if, and I've tried this and I've found out that this works, okay? Every time I'm tempted to go someplace I shouldn't go, to say something that I shouldn't say, even if it's really funny, how many of you know sometimes some of the funniest things you say shouldn't be said? I have found out that when you will praise the Lord, it somehow kind of curbs the enemy from placing those thoughts in your mind. Now, it isn't that those thoughts won't come into your mind, because they will. But when they do, and we talked about thoughts coming into our mind last week and what we should do with them, we should let them come in and go right back out. Okay, if they're the enemy's thoughts, get rid of them. But if every time I realized, and I've done this, like I said, if every time I realized I was speaking wrongly or saying something wrong, if I began to praise the Lord, wouldn't that make Satan not want to tempt me? Because every time he tempts me, it just ends up in praise for the Lord. Amen. Amen. It works. Yeah, amen. It does work. But the problem is with us, it's we don't have our minds stayed on him. All right? We don't think about him all the time. We think about him Sunday morning, or actually we think about him a lot on Saturday night when we have to get up on Sunday morning. And, well, even in my case, you know, I think about it more probably from Thursday on, because then I'm going to write a sermon from Thursday on. And so when there's really some need for it, I make sure that I do it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I guess, as I'm thinking about this, and I guess as we were worshiping, you know, I used to have a pastor once that said, don't sing a lie, you know. In other words, don't sing this stuff unless you're going to live it, okay? You know, but how many of us really, do we let our breath, our very breath, praise the Lord? And what would that be like? I mean, I think it'd be wonderful, for one thing, because I think that with the times that you praise the Lord, you remember the promises of God. And when you remember the promises of God, you can stand on the promises of God. See, the only thing wrong with the promises of God is the Christian very, very seldom stands on them. We have so many promises of you know, that we're going to be all right, that we're going to make it, that we're going to receive strength, we're going to receive healing, we're going to receive whatever, but we don't really stand on it. We know it says it, but that's where we leave it. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if it says it in your Bible, believe it. Then I'll be a fundamentalist, terrible. No, you'll just be a believer, okay? Oh, but I can't be like that, and you know that every single word of the Bible, yes, you can and you should be. See, the power in the Word of God comes from the big things that it says and from the very small things that it says. And if you would seek the Lord to the degree that you should, those small things will suddenly pop out at you. And I guess what I'm really trying to say to you today is, what would it be like to live Sunday on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? What would it be like? What would it be like if you got up in the morning and started thinking about God like you do on Sunday? Okay, I'm not saying that you never think about God, but you know what I'm talking about. But what would it be like if Sunday started our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, our every day? See, when God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, he didn't say on Sunday morning only. He didn't say, let all you people praise me on Sunday. Yeah, because I know you don't have any time for this during the week, but you do. What is amazing to me is like when you're serving God and you take time to serve God, somehow that time gets multiplied back to you so you really haven't lost anything. Are you with me? And I think you'll find that if you would take time to read the Word, if you would take time to get into the Word, if you would take time to make it so that everything within you, all of you, would praise the Lord. Are you with me? I mean, you can't praise Him for the bad things you're going through. You can praise Him because He's going to get you through the bad things you might be going through. But don't blame God for the stuff that you've gotten yourself into. But the greatest promise I think that we have is that we will get to the end, and we do win at the end. Amen? And so many times that we make mistakes, and we do make mistakes. How many makes mistakes? How many do? Yeah, good. I'm glad it's not just me. That even though you make those mistakes, that you have the conscience about you to say, God, forgive me, it's over. That quick, it's over. Then all you have to do is turn around from where you were and not go back to that place again. And that's where we have trouble. But what if everything that came out of your mouth was a praise to God? What if when that guy cuts you off on the highway, you said, praise the Lord? I know, that's pretty tough. I've heard there's people that get really mad and say things. But are you understanding at all what I'm saying? Is that it seems as though what God is trying to say to us today through our worship and through the focus of what today has been so far is set your minds on Him. You know what the Bible says? It says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Wow, that means if I think about God, I'm gonna live a better life? Yeah, I'm sorry, that's what it says. And you know what? I believe that. So I'm going to stand on that. Come on. And I guess the question I'd like to ask you is, do you know enough scripture to be able to throw it at whatever problem you're going through? Or do you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have life everlasting? Well, I suppose if that's the only one you know, you could use that one. The word of God silences the mouth of the enemy. All right? The word of God silences those who the enemy uses against you. I'll never forget one time we had just gotten saved, and Serena was saved longer than me. And her brother was talking to her, and he was giving her all kinds of guff about, you know, not being Catholic anymore and going to a Pentecostal church, and boy, you're crazy, and all this stuff. And she just kept speaking scripture to him. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. He got so frustrated, he just, fine, you know? But you can't argue with the word of God. You can't argue with his promises. You can't argue with his statements. You can't argue with it. Well, I mean, you can, but you won't make any sense, because the word of God does make sense. The thing that doesn't make sense is most everything that the enemy throws at you. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, the enemy likes to close your mouth. God is telling you to open your mouth. All right? The enemy tells you to just, you know, just don't mess with that. Don't. God tells us to deal with it. And the biggest thing, one of the biggest things I think that happens within the church is, although we know that we should be praising all the time, although we know that we should be doing this kind of a thing, that we don't do it. Now, I know. You're going, yeah, Pastor Wes, I know. You as a pastor, you can praise God all the time. Your job lets you do that. Mine don't. Do you know what my job is? What I'm trying to say is just this. It isn't easier for anybody or anybody else. It's the same for us all. We all go through some garbage in life, okay? But if you would let the words come out of your mouth instead of being cursing or something that you shouldn't say, if you would let it be a truly heartfelt, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get through this. Thank you, God. You know, I thank you for the armor of God that I can put it on today, that all of the fiery darts of the enemy are not going to hurt me. I've got the shield of faith that can quench those darts. Well, what is the shield of faith? You believe, right? It's what you believe. And I can't help but think that if we really believe the fact that the Bible says, and what's so funny is he ends the Psalms with this. You know, Psalm 150, last Psalm, verse 6, last verse. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I don't know if that includes anybody else, but I know it includes me. Okay? If we're going to give an account for every word that we speak, then I would say that it would be smart for us to speak certain things. Yes. Don't you? I would to God that every one of us would just even try it for a week. Even try it, you know, whether it's under our breath or out loud or what. I used to be mentored by a guy who said he had told the Lord that he was not going to go a minute without praising him. And you'll be talking to him, and all of a sudden you'll say, praise the Lord. You know, it's like, are you listening to me? He was, but he praised the Lord. Praise the Lord. People who put God first are happy people. Are you with me? That's not so hard to figure out. People who put God first are happy people. If you don't put God first, you're not a happy person. And I don't think there's anybody that's more unhappy than a Christian who's backslidden because he knows what he should be doing or she knows what they should be doing. I think, in fact, I know, if there was one thing that I could do, and I would ask God to work in me, it's that. Let everything I say, let everything I do be pleasing to you. I think I read that somewhere, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I don't know about you, but when I look back on it, I don't know if I can give an account for some of the words that I've spoken. The only thing I can do is from this point on, make sure, and now understand what that scripture means. It says, we'll give an account for every idle word. You know what that word idle means? It means unemployed. Every unemployed word, every word that we speak that doesn't have a place to go, we have to give an account for. Have you ever said some things that they really didn't belong to the person you were talking about? Are you with me? You know, and of course, the greatest thing about it is we can get forgiveness, and we have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The hard part about it is if you continue in a sin, the Bible calls it presumptuous sin, a sin that you know that you can be forgiven for. In fact, the Bible says, God, keep me from presumptuous sin, and I will be free of the great transgression. In other words, that kind of sin is not just considered wrong, it's the great transgression that you keep doing over and over and over again because you know deep down in your heart that God will forgive you. And he does. Until you get to the point where you really don't see any point in asking for forgiveness, well, what are you talking about? That's what sin will do to you. It will. Sin will scorch you, burn you, take your conscience and like the Bible says, sear it with a hot iron, you know, so that you don't see any point in asking for forgiveness anymore because you've justified what you're doing. It's not a sin to not praise God, and I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if we have this at our very fingertips, we know that our words are important. How many of you know that your words are important? Okay. If we have this at our fingertips, and we know that words matter, then the question this morning is, then why don't we do it? And I don't guess I have that answer for any person sitting here in the pew. I have the answer for me. I know why, and I know what gets in the way. His name is Wes. And pride and things like that. And I guess what I want you to hear and know, I didn't plan on preaching on this or speaking about this at all. I was going to talk to you about idolatry and witchcraft and all that good stuff. But I think the Lord would have us know this morning that when we praise him, things happen. Do you really believe that? That when we praise him and when we put him in the proper place where he belongs in our lives, things change. And they change for the better. I don't think I could give an account for every unemployed word that I've ever spoken. But what I can do is from this point on, watch my mouth. Can you all watch your mouth a little bit? Yeah. Let everything that has breath, that's you. Let everything that has breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Wow. That means when things are going really bad, what are you supposed to do? When things are really, when things are just as tough as you have ever had them, should you be complaining and griping and moaning, or should you be what? Again, not for, but through it, getting you through it. I think that if we would all do that, I think that this world might look at Christians as being a little more attractive than what they seem to see right now. Listen, I have no idea if there's one person that needed to hear that, or if there was the whole place needed to hear that, or I just needed to be obedient and not preach what I had written down. But I know this much. When God is involved in your life, things change. One of the greatest ways to get God involved in your life is to praise His name. Because you know what? When you praise Him, He's present. Come on, people. When you praise Him, He's present. He inhabits the praises of His people. He's always there, but there's something about Him inhabiting your praise. What if you're praising for something bad that happened or for, you know, a situation? What if you bring God into it? It can't help but get better. Are you with me? I think some of this stuff is almost so basic that we don't even see it anymore because we seem to know so much more than what we knew when we first got saved. How many of you have ever thought that you'd be better off if you knew what you knew when you got saved? Come on. By how excited you were about the Lord. Because now, you're not that excited. But you should be that excited. You don't know how blessed you are. You just got saved from a sermon that was 15 pages of notes. Yeah, praise the Lord, right, man? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. But please pay attention to that. Please pay attention, you know, from now on to what comes out of your mouth. Is it confessing good things or owning bad things? You know, is it lifting the Lord up or lifting the problem up? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, even though I've gone through some pretty tough things, even during those times, I still have breath. Amen? I still have breath. And according to the Bible, everything that has breath should do what? Praise the Lord. And so that's just what I want to encourage you with today is to praise the Lord, is to go through your life keeping him in focus all the time instead of letting Him go into the rearview mirror. And just by saying, well, thank God, praise God, you know, whatever, it brings Him back to your mind, but it also brings Him on the spot. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. I think that's all that the Lord would have me to say. All right? Problem is, I want to talk more. Okay. Gentlemen, would you prepare yourselves for communion?